Today's episode of Real Ghost Stories Online is brought to you by ZipRecruiter. You guys can try ZipRecruiter for free at this exclusive web address. Ready? ZipRecruiter.com/ghost. That's ZipRecruiter.com/GHOST. ZipRecruiter.com/ghost. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire. It's official. Real Ghost Stories Online and the Grave Talks will be live at the Crescent Hotel for one night only, August 11th, 2019 at 7 p.m. And you are invited. I'm Tony Bruschi from Real Ghost Stories Online, and I can't wait to meet you at the Crescent Hotel this August 11th for an awesome night of ghost stories. We're going to have a lot of fun at the Crescent Hotel that night as we record an episode of Real Ghost Stories Online live. The stories on this episode come from you guys, the audience, live at the Crescent. Then it's a live episode of The Grave Talks as we talk with Crescent historian and paranormal investigator Keith Scales. We'll learn all about the history of the hotel, how it came to be, why it's haunted today, what goes on at the haunted Crescent Hotel, and allow you guys to ask your questions as well with a live Q&A segment. It's a fun night full of ghost stories at the historic haunted Crescent Hotel, a hotel that we've had many stories from shared about over the years here on the show. Tickets are only $25 a piece and are on sale now. Go to realghoststoriesonline.com and click on the Live at the Crescent Hotel banner to purchase yours. They are very limited, though, and when they are gone, they are gone. Real Ghost Stories Online and The Grave Talks live at the Crescent Hotel in Eureka Springs, Arkansas, August 11th, 2019. Get your tickets now at realghoststoriesonline.com. Today on Real Ghost Stories Online, why does the smell of rotting flesh flow through a home at 3 a.m. every night? Is a woman's preoccupation with death a sign of things to come? And does the ghost of a business owner still go to work every single day?
Welcome to Real Ghost Stories Online. Call in your real ghost story now at 855-853-4802, or write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. You're about to enter the world of the unknown, and quite possibly, the undead. This is Real Ghost Stories Online.
That it is. 855-853-4802 is our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online. You can call it 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Share your ghost story with us there. You can write it on the website, realghoststoriesonline.com, so that your ways to get your stories to us, and we can share them on the program. If you like the show, this is a listener-supported show. You go to ghostpodcast.com. Become an EPP. It's an extra podcast person. Or patreon.com/realghoststories. $5 a month will get you access to our EPP bonus episodes. Brand new one put out every single week, packed with our best ghost stories. And you also get access to all of the archive of EPP bonus episodes exclusively for extra podcast people. And access to advanced episodes before they're released to the public. And a whole lot more, like a copy of our book, an e-copy of our book. You get that. It's all at ghostpodcast.com. Or patreon.com/realghoststories. Tony and Carol Hughes joining you today. And how are you, Carol?
Tony, I'm good today. Thank you.
That's lovely.
It was kind of like an official announcer lady voice. I don't use that very often.
It's kind of special. Yeah.
Thanks.
It's a wonderful day, and it'll be sunny today in 72. Back to you, Herb. And yeah. There you go.
Don't call me Herb. I'm Carol.
Weather next. So there you go. Yeah. So anything exciting in your world as of late?
Well, no.
No.
No, not really.
It's where I toss it to you, and I'm expecting just buco exciting information, and I'm getting
I just don't have a lot of exciting information right now.
I had an interesting moment tonight. I was there's this really cool place in Branson that's opened up, and this is not an advertisement for them. It's just a neat place. If you're in Branson, check this place out. We talk a lot about, you know, retro type things on this show, and there's a place called 1984. that's opened.
I saw you posted a picture of that.
It is neat. It's an arcade, like a 1984 arcade, not the modern where you're going to get, you know, your cards and a gazillion tickets and it's just all that. It's like going into an arcade in 1984. The games are from the 80s. It's fun. They're playing like music from the 80s. They even have like TVs set up with VHS, you know, cassette players, and they have like Back to the Future on, and it's fun. It's a neat place. But I was sitting in there tonight. I took both of our girls there now. I took Livy last week. I took Harp this week, and they're getting a kick out of it. But you're in there and you're thinking of all the 80s stuff. There's the movies playing and playing some of the 80s video games, and one of the, you know, 80s movies that I think of when I think of like 80s horror movies is Amityville Horror. And I've been getting some stuff. Was that a 70s movie or an 80s movie? I'm thinking.
I think it might have been. Well, there was the first one. That might have been 70s.
Sure. Okay. Obviously, I'm from the 80s. So when I think of it.
There's a zillion of them, actually.
There is. I'm thinking the original. I got to look at that. But I mean, anyway, I think of the 80s when I think of Amityville Horror. I know the book came out in the 70s. But I think a lot of the hype and stuff continued well into the 80s. So I was thinking about that, and I'd forgotten I'd emailed somebody involved with the case, and I won't say their name on the air, but about a week or two ago, because we're coming up on the 100th episode of The Grave Talks, the other podcast, and I've been asking this individual if they would come on for a while now to talk about the case, and they're involved with the original case, as far as reporting on it, investigating all that. And I've just been like, this would be great if I could have this person on the show. And boom, I get a Facebook message while I'm in there with all the 80s stuff going, hey, I'd love to be on. Sure, that'd be great. So we have to just kind of arrange a time now for that.
So that is really exciting. When would you air that?
Well, on the 100th episode is when that
will air. When? Like date?
On the 100th episode date. The date of airing of the 100th episode is the date.
You're such a tease. I want you to be like, well, we'll be doing that on June the 1st, Carol.
You know, honestly, I have no idea. The thing is, I'm getting ready to record it, but as far as the episodes having aired, I'm so far in advance on that show as far as the air dates. Like interviews I record this week for that show will be airing in September. So that's how far out it is. So I would guesstimate towards the end of the year.
Well, I have an idea.
Yeah.
Once you record it, why don't you bump everything else back a week and put that on? Bump just every- an idea.
So we go from like episode like 70 to 100, just like in one sitting.
Yeah, but who's really gonna know if who's they counting? Haven't been released yet? You just have to renumber some shit.
We'll go back to the future to make it very 80s-ish. But I'm excited about it. It's one of those cases that I've always been fascinated with. And you know, a lot of people, obviously, from that time, the adults are deceased, George and Kathy. Lorraine Warren just passed the other week. So the children are still around, Christopher and his brother, and they speak sporadically. I've been trying to get Christopher on the show for years, and that's continues to run into a brick wall with interest and then not no interest. And so I don't know if that'll ever happen. I hope it does. I'd love to talk to him about his experiences, but this is, I think, pretty close to one of the best I think we can get on the show to talk about the case for someone who was involved with it.
I have a question.
Yeah.
So do you think, like, a house that there's been a horrific murder in?
Yeah.
Or even any murder.
Mm-hmm.
But especially, you know, one with kids involved, like something just horrific.
Sure.
Because we talked about BTK, I think, last week, but when I drive by that house almost every day,
mm-hmm.
where the family was killed, and I'm like, do you think that house could ever be okay? Like, to me, it just seems like there that would be in that house all the time. Like, how could something really horrific happen?
Sure.
And nothing is left, like, haunting wise, like,
yeah, you know,
horrible murder, everything's fine. Nothing's weird with the house.
You know, I think it comes down to the individuals who are in it. You know, some in some cases, no, I think it would, no matter what your sensitivity level is, it's going to be there and you're going to pick up on it. But I think there's a lot of people where they just don't have, and it's not like a fault, it's just their level of sensitivity to anything is at a zero. So they don't pick up on anything. Same with the Amityville house. It's been sitting there forever, and many owners have gone through and said, I don't have any problems. The biggest problem I have are people showing up on my front lawn, taking pictures and stealing pieces of our hedge. You know, to say that we've got part of the hedge from the Amityville house or pieces of the house. So it depends on, I think, where your level is as far as picking up on that stuff. If you're like a 10 on the empath scale, I think that house is going to drive you nuts and the energy is going to be horrible. But if you're like at a 1 or a 0, it's not going to affect you very much. If it's not a super active haunting that's coming out and showing its face to every single person. So I think it takes the right person to be able to live in a house. Even if
I think there's probably some houses, no matter who lives there, they're going to pick up on it.
Exactly.
It's that intense.
Yeah. I mean, and even, you know, even if you're not like an empath and you're not super sensitive to that stuff, you just kind of have to have, I don't know what, I don't know how I would ever really be at peace with the idea of living in the house where, you know, like BTK shit went down or Amityville stuff went down. It's just, it's, you know, and a lot of times those places get torn down, you know, like Dahmer's apartment was torn down.
As it should have been.
Yeah. I mean, so many places where just horrific shit happens. It's like, yeah, this is not ever going to work out. But some of them, they stand and they turn into happy homes or B&Bs like the Lizzie Borden house. It's an interesting thing as far as how all that works. But I think it really kind of depends on the circumstance and the level of sensitivity.
I'm telling you what, there's no way I would live in the Amityville house. Like, they should just turn that into a museum.
Like
a haunted house museum.
I think the city hates it. I think the city absolutely detests the damn book and the stories because that's all they're known for half the time now. And I don't think they'd want anything to do with it. But at some point, you got to go, well, if you can't beat them, join them. And
as you say, embrace it, make some money off of it. There's tax dollars to be had.
That's true. It's in the middle of a neighborhood, though, so the neighbors are probably going to hate it. But that's an expensive neighborhood, too. I think the last time that house sold, it sold for a couple, like $1 million. So, I think it would probably tank the neighborhood if it became a museum of some sort.
Okay. You've made a point.
Yeah. So, yeah, it's a hot, pricey piece of real estate, but interesting stuff, though. Okay, back to the show in just a moment. First, I want to thank our supporter today, ZipRecruiter. If you guys are in the world of hiring, if you're the hiring manager, if you're a manager of some sort, if you're a business owner, if you need people for something, ZipRecruiter is where you should be going to do that. Find those human beings for that something that you are hiring for. In fact, right now, you guys can try it for free. We have a great little agreement with them that they allow you to try this for free at this exclusive web address, ZipRecruiter.com/ghost, ZipRecruiter.com/GHOST. All right. Now, let's talk about ZipRecruiter a little bit so you can get a better idea on what they do. They basically, they've reinvented the way you hire people. It used to be, you know how it worked. It would get the resumes in, go through them, weed them down, and then it's this long, drawn-out thing. ZipRecruiter sends your job immediately to over 100 of the web's leading job boards. So there you go. All that posting, all of that, they do. Boom, you input, it goes out. It doesn't stop there, though. Then their powerful matching technology scans through thousands of resumes to find people with the right experience and then invites them to apply for your job. So you have to hope that they find you. It says, hey, this is a job you're pretty qualified for. Maybe you should apply for it. Then they come to you. So your quality of candidate that comes to you goes way up. You're not just sifting through a bunch of... you like that? That's my term for unqualified individuals. Applications, as they come in, ZipRecruiter analyzes each one and spotlights the top candidates so you never miss a great match. ZipRecruiter, it's so effective. 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate through the site within the first day. Yes. So speed is another one of their really strong points. Right now, you guys can try ZipRecruiter for free at this exclusive web address, ZipRecruiter.com/ghost, ZipRecruiter.com/GHOST, in case you didn't know how to spell ghost. ZipRecruiter.com/ghost. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire. 855-853-4802 is our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online to share your real ghost stories with us. Let's get into today's episode and our stories. Let's jump over to this one. It says, hey, I'm Daniel from Springfield, Illinois. I'm an EPP. Been listening to the show for a little over a year now, and I thought it was about time to share a ghost story of mine. I'm 25 now, but this happened when I was 16. My father, my brother, and my father's friend and I are really into the paranormal. Anything spooky, we love it. We decided to do a ghost hunt of the Valeska Axe Murder House. We've all been ghost hunting before, but I really didn't think too much of it. I enjoy spending time with those guys, but I never expected anything to actually happen. There was no electricity in the house. And as we investigated, we heard footsteps. Nothing too scary. We'd investigate them to no avail. As the night grew on, things got creepier. My father and his friend antagonized the spirit of an axe murderer, trying to gauge a reaction. It said the murderer murdered 8 people, including 6 children. A real monster. They say it happened at 3 a.m. and the sounds were muffled by a train whistle that goes off at the same time every day. The house is evil. I was the only one awake from the group at 3 a.m. Train came blistering through very loudly. A cold chill came into the air. A smell drifted in, putrid and rotten, unlike anything I've ever smelled before. It was like rotten flesh and dreadful. A few moments passed, and I heard heavy footsteps on the stairs. I want to think I'm tough as nails, but at that moment, I was so afraid I couldn't speak. Something menacing dwells there, the devil knows. I have so many stories, including the follow-up to this one. I love your show. Thank you for doing it. On a side note, I'm a manager at a Taco Bell, and I love all your funny stories associated with that place. Do I have many Taco Bell stories, Carol? At the time, I don't remember what people are referencing when they say, like, oh, you talked about this. I did.
Well, of course we've talked. Who doesn't talk about Taco Bell?
I don't know. Anyhow, so you got places like that that are it's essentially paranormal tourism is what it is.
Well, first off, I love Springfield, Illinois, because it's home of my favorite president.
Yeah,
it's a really cool town. Yes.
Can I?
Of course, I think it is because Abe Lincoln lived there.
Can I disagree?
He doesn't have to be your favorite president.
No, and I'm not. I'm talking about the town.
Oh, okay. I think I find it so exciting because there's Abe Lincoln stuff there.
I think it's,
that's why I love it.
I really wanted to go to the museum, and we had been stopping there halfway on some trips when we went up to Wisconsin, and I went downtown to try and walk around to check out some of the tourist spots with the kids and all that. And no offense, there's some lovely people from Springfield, but oh my God, I felt really uncomfortable down there. I felt very unsafe wandering around. Maybe it was just my experience, but there was a couple times it was like we were kind of like the only ones on a street being followed by a strange man, and then they'd stop you at the corner like, okay, we're gonna get mugged here, this will be fun. But I don't know.
Here I'm in Springfield. Oh, look, an Abe Lincoln picture. Another yeah. Abe Lincoln picture. A street named after Abe Lincoln. That's how I saw it.
That's how you saw
it. I remember the town.
There was like 3 muggers following you around the whole time, but they're like, she's really into old Abe. Just let her be.
Amazing.
Just let her be.
But it's so interesting to me. Like, that town is old.
It is. And
it's been there a long time. So he's talking about a haunted house, and I'm like,
I know.
I only have Abe Lincoln references.
Yeah.
But I don't know that I would really know what, like, burning putridy flesh smells like.
Yeah.
I would imagine it's a really horrible smell.
Last time I burned bodies in the other room, it really, you know.
Is it bad?
If you put a couple Glade plugins around it,
it's okay then?
Yeah, I mean, you got to go like the apple cinnamon. The cinnamon really masks it. But, you know, it's everybody's own preference when you're burning a body.
But see, that house didn't have electricity, let alone Glade plugins.
That's true. Got to think ahead.
I think it's really weird to wake up in the middle of it, or like you were sleeping, but in the middle of the night,
yeah,
like an overwhelming smell of that.
Sure. And you're
be gross.
What I'm wondering about all these paranormal tourism places where it's literally you can go there, you can pay a fee, and they'll let you stay at the place and investigate it, essentially, is how it works. And it's interesting. It's neat. It's really the only thing that's keeping many of these historic buildings standing, because a lot of them were, you know, ready to be torn down. And the only, you know, somebody bought them or people buy them for this purpose. And in that aspect, I go, that's really neat. And that's really cool that these are being able to be saved on the principle of ghosts and to preserve them. But at the same point, what I'm concerned about with it is individuals going in to hunt yep. these places that don't necessarily have the correct ethos on how to do it, where they're provoking
or
the speak.
The other thing where I thought you were going with it, that if you are renting it out and giving these tours / experiences and nobody's having any experiences, it's not going to last.
Sure.
So I also would be concerned that some people manufacture that.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying?
Sure.
Because if somebody leaves and it's like, oh my God, there's a putrid smell or this one thing happened or music box, because mm-hmm. that's kind of a creepy sound in the middle of the night. You know, this music box sound started playing in the middle of the night. Well, then somebody else is like, I'm going to check it out. That's how you kind of keep that going.
I never even thought of that. And that's an obvious one. I haven't heard of that. I haven't suspected that with any of them that I've heard about.
And I'm just so jaded sometimes.
They're just going to fuck with you and make everything up.
Right?
And I've interviewed many people who own a lot of these type of properties on the other show. And you know, it's interesting. And a lot of them are very good ghost hunters and they have the correct, you know, ethical way of investigating. But when you just rent them out to people who are going to pay money without, and maybe some do vetting better than others, but when you don't vet and it's like, yeah, it's your money, do whatever you want in here for 4 hours or whatever, you're going to sometimes get those people who are like, I'm a ghost hunter this weekend. And then they go in and they just provoke and they insult and they do shit that really stirs things up the wrong way. And I'm wondering how long till somebody gets into one of these places that really is super active and doesn't have the nicest of spirits in there till we have serious issues like somebody getting killed. And it's like,
right?
Yeah. I mean, I don't know how you have an insurance policy on a place like that where it's like,
I don't think you could. Well, no, you probably could.
How do you classify them? When they ask you, what's your primary business?
Haunted house.
Yeah, we're letting people in here in the middle of the night to provoke satanic, to do rituals and provoke demons.
I mean, nothing really. Coffee in the morning.
I'd love to see that one on the farmer's commercial. It's like, yep. Demons killing a family of four, doing a ghost hunt. We've seen it. We've covered it.
We are farmers.
Be great. It's like, that's what we covered. Everyone's dead. We found their head on the roof. We've covered it. We are. Yeah, it's. Let's see that ad. 855-853-4802 is our phone number. At Real Ghost Stories Online to share your experiences. Letter says, hey, it's Kat again. I told you about my grandmother telling my mom she wouldn't be able to keep my sister, and I'm a sensitive, just like my grandmother. I have a lot of stories from the 140-year-old house I grew up in all the way to where I work as a CNA. This story is one of my oldest memories. I was about four, trying to go upstairs like any other kid when they're not supposed to. When I got five steps up, I saw a teenage girl with red, wavy hair, fickle, a white gown and a smile that most of my family has. She told me I'm not supposed to be on the stairs and to go back down. Something told me I needed to listen to her, so I went back down. Mom caught me coming down the stairs. I got my butt whipped. And she sat me down on the couch in the living room and asked me why I did that. On one wall in the living room, it was full of pictures. She talks about it to me, and I can't look at her out of the shame that I had, so I was looking at the pictures. And I suddenly said to my mom, who is this? What is that? With a curious look on her face mid-lecture, I pointed at a picture, and I said to her, I saw that woman in that picture on the top of the stairs. And she told me to come back down. Mom started to cry. It confused me until she finally said, that's your Aunt Tammy. She died months before you were born. I must clarify, Mom and Dad are biologically my grandma and grandpa. My mother and father is my sister. So Tammy is my sister, but also my aunt. Mom and dad have always told me I look like my mother's twin, but I act like Tammy's twin. The gift I have is part of the reason why they thought that. She knew very early in life she was not going to have a long life. Mom even told me that the last 2 months of her life, she talked about death more and more. Teachers, friends, and relatives always asking if they'll miss her and were giving her hugs, making everyone worry about it. She died from a seizure and a stroke of some kind. One triggered the other, and they don't know which was first because it happened so fast. She's always had the test done because she was sick a lot, but there was never a sign of any of those things that were going to happen. That's not the only time I've seen her. I've seen her all throughout the house over the years. I even see her on my dreams every now and then. She's a girl that I see in the house. There are two boys, an old man, and a cat ghost. So many stories to tell. I'll tell you them another time. Thanks for sharing my story on the show. So, interesting family story of someone, sounds like almost like a family guardian type spirit.
I thought that was a great story.
Yeah.
I got a little bit complicated in the grandparents were the this and the that and the that. I'd have to go back and look at a chart.
Yeah.
But, I mean, the fact that she had, but had the picture been there and she had never seen that picture before?
Mm-hmm.
Maybe?
I don't know.
Paid attention to it?
I could say just not paying attention to it, especially if it's someone you don't know. And then you suddenly realize, hey, I've seen that person before. And it's that one person in that picture, but you never really connect the dots on who it is.
And I do think that some people, I don't know if it's necessarily you know you're going to die, but there's a feeling or something. Because I've heard stories like that, even like my friend Doug, my boyfriend, when I shared that story. Mm-hmm. It was like, I think he knew something was going to happen.
Yeah.
Or he had an overwhelming sense to reach out to me to make it right. I don't know, but I've heard a lot of stories like that, and I'm always fascinated by them. Because what were they experiencing? You know, like her telling people, are you going to miss my hugs? That's weird.
I know. I mean, it's like, what is that feeling? I don't know that I really, I mean.
I don't want to know it.
Exactly. It's like, why are you getting a tingle in
your
pinky?
I'm intrigued by it, though.
Some people are almost preoccupied with their death, though, too. And I'm not saying that that's the case in this story, but I my grandma would like talk about death for the last 20 years of her life. She would constantly be like, I'm going to be dead soon. And, you know, eventually she did die, but it wasn't like,
well, we all do.
Yeah, I mean, it wasn't like next week she died. You know, it was, you know, she ended up having, you know, dementia and Alzheimer's and all that. So it was really kind of a long drawn out thing. But when she, before she was in that state, before she got the Alzheimer's and before dementia, I mean, all throughout my childhood, it would be, you know, it's like, oh, let's go down to Woolworths and we'll get some lunch and then go to the library. And half the time she would be talking about how she's going to die someday. It's like, that's great, Grandma. I'll take the ham and cheese.
Some people have a morbid obsession with it.
I do too.
Then other people, it's like this legit sort of, like trying to put things in order before they go.
Yeah.
And you hear those stories frequently, and I'm fascinated by that.
You know, I would say
I don't want it to happen to me, but I am fascinated by it.
I'm not fascinated or obsessed with my own death by any means. That's like something I don't want to think about or talk about the way like my grandma would. But I think there is there's certainly a fascination with the death thing. I mean, the fact that we're doing this show, you know, that we're talking about the afterlife, you know, quite frequently. There's an element to that there of like, what is it? You know, what happens? There's all these stories that seem to kind of contradict the, you know, whatever Judeo-Christian belief system of heaven, hell, and that's it. Then what's the answer to all of this stuff that we're talking about here on the show? Like, what's going on there?
And you just got really deep.
Aren't I?
That got deep.
You know, it's like, you know, how does Hardee's make a hot ham and cheese sandwich? It's like they're a hamburger restaurant. That's really weird.
I don't know. They have ham and they have cheese. They put it on a bun.
But they don't like they have a meat shape up. Or like an Arby's. It's like, how do they do it? It's just so bizarre. And curly fries. They don't come curly. What the hell is that?
How do they do that?
It's just weird. It's like, I don't know.
How do they stay curly?
You're listening to Deep Thoughts on Real Ghost Stories Online. Coming up, Terry Gross. So there you go. 855-853-4802 is our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online. Let's go to a caller and hear someone share their ghost stories in their own words. Hi.
My name is Erwin. I live in Honolulu, Hawaii. I have a few stories. Hopefully, those stories I can fit it in this message. I've been working in this private Christian school for over a year and a half now. It's located on the Pali area of Honolulu. It's right next to the forest. This area here, to where I work at, is kind of haunted due to the past. I'd say you heard of the night mushrooms, I guess. I've heard it in some of the episodes. So when I came here, my coworkers had told me that when she first started here, maybe 3-4 years ago, she was working on the graveyard shift, and while she was patrolling on one of the buildings that fronts the forest, because of our school is kind of open to the woods, you know, and there's no wall, nothing. So she was doing her patrol maybe around 2-3 o'clock in the morning, and while she was on the fourth floor, she overlooked the woods right across from the building. In between, there's a river. So so when she was walking through the whole the hallway, she noticed on her left on the woods, she noticed there were like torch lights, maybe about a dozen, half dozen of it. And it was, I would say, in between in the forest, she could see the torch lights. So she thought that, you know, there was some kind of like a homeless encampment or something, or there was some kind of party, you know, in the woods. So the next day, she told her supervisor that, hey, you know, like, there was this torchlight I seen passing from the woods going up to, you know, to the valley, you know, to the mountain. And she was told that those were the night marchers, you know. They were going to the path to the mountain to, you know, they were heading to the battle of King Kamehameha. So, and also, last year of April the 13th, it was on a Friday, my coworker had a heart attack. And actually, you know, he died in my arms. You know, that was, for me, was a very depressing and very, very tough time for me. So, within the 3 days of his passing, I would say a week of his passing, the people that I work with, because they are Christian, it's a Christian school, and my coworker was a Catholic, because he's been working there for, you know, about 10 plus years, the school, actually made a service for him, even though, you know, the religious was different. They wanted to give it to him, you know, as a, like a present, you know. So, and, you know, he was loved by all the students and the faculty. They really like him. So, back to the story. I would say a week after his funeral and services, over the weekend, one of the teachers, she came in, you know, like 8 o'clock in the morning, and she did her class in this, you know, small recreation room. We call it MPR, multi-purpose room. And while she was opening the door, she noticed a figure, a shadow that was coming from the right end of the two-way doors and slowly going to left-hand side and into the glass door. For us, security, we unlock, you know, we use the Allen wrench to unlock those glass doors. So for me, you know, we thinking that he's already doing his rounds. So it's kind of tough. So I think for the most part, throughout that year, you know, we've seen him several times, especially in the morning. You know, we've seen, you know, right in our side of our, you know, right in the side of our like left hand or right hand side of the corner of our eyesight. You know, we've seen him standing, and he kind of just looked onward while we direct traffic. Or, you know, I spent most of the time in the security office, and that's where he usually spent his time. And, you know, even with the AC off, you know, we have like chills. We have cold spots that we can't explain. So, you know, he's just been there for us. You know, there hasn't, you know, there's no harm, nothing. You know, he's there to watch over us, and it feels like, you know, like we wish that, you know, we can send him to God, you know, to heaven instead of lingering here. And I know that he's watching over us. So, you know, I'm kind of just grateful that, you know, he's still, you know, doing his job for the past 10 plus years. And, you know, I'm hoping that he's in a good place and that he can find the rest. You know, that's about it. I do have stories from my coworkers, but I'll leave you to that. And it's kind of just, you know, some good story. Thank you. Tony, thank you for listening. Sorry about that. Have a nice day. Aloha.
Thoughts?
Well, number one, that made me so sad that his coworker died in his arms. I can't even begin to imagine that.
Mm-hmm.
That would be really difficult to process that. So that kind of broke my heart for him. It did break my heart for him. But I don't. This is something I've thought of before. Because if you believe in heaven and hell, is there any rush to get there? Because once you die, there really wouldn't be any clocks or time or anything, right?
Sure.
So if he's happy and he wants to stick around to watch over people,
mm-hmm. Why not?
Not scaring anybody.
Yeah.
I think that's okay. Like if that, because he said he was like, they kind of wanted him to move on, but maybe he's got friends who are still there and he wants to be there for them.
Sure.
That kind of makes some sense to me.
Yeah, I mean, there are ways for all this to work within the system of, you know, of these belief systems. I think it can.
I mean, do you have to go immediately?
I don't know.
Can you be like, hey, I want to be a guardian angel for a while?
What if you want?
Whatever you might want to call it.
What if you really want to be an asshole as a dead person? Like, say you were like a good person in life, and you were on the track for heaven, and okay, you're dead now, and now you got your time as a ghost. Can you then strike out as a ghost where it's like
St. Peter's like, go on in. You know what?
We changed our mind.
I'm here.
You were a real dick to those people as a ghost. I'm sorry.
I got another idea. I'm going to go haunt some people.
Yeah. Can that change?
Can I come back in 10 years or is there like punch my card once I've made it this far. I can't get back here again. How
is it?
Yeah.
Is it like Subway stamps, you know, where it's like you go around and it's like, oh, I've helped six people. I get a free sub and into heaven too. You know, I don't know how that works. Or, you know, what if you don't get the six stamps and you just, you know, you were kind of an ass.
You got five. Shit.
It's like not quite enough for the free sub and into heaven. So we're sorry. Eternal damnation. Enjoy hell.
But I mean,
hell.
Like, if you believe in guardian angels, what would that be? What would a guardian angel be? Yeah. You know?
Is it something that was not a person or ever walked the earth, or is it something that it's like Uncle, you know, Larry that is hanging out? You know?
I always felt like my dad has hung out.
Sure.
I still feel like my dad hangs out.
No.
And it's been over 20 years.
And it makes sense. You know, these are people who, you know, would be, you know, they'd have a vested interest in the person they're watching over. So.
Because I'm like, once you've died, why couldn't you watch over the people you still love?
Mm-hmm. I plan on haunting the shit out of my grandkids someday. I
mean, of course you do.
That's
the goal.
I
wouldn't think anything less.
I'll help them to not be hit by a bus. I'll do good stuff, too. But I'm also going to freak them out a little bit here and there. It's like, oh, my God. You know, like, how did that thing fly across the room? Like, they'll do little things. Like, I'm not going to, like, you know, put, like, 666 on, like, the chalkboard or something. Or, you know.
Then Harper, she puts her fist to the sky. Dad.
Dad, stop it.
Dad.
Yeah, that'd be great. Great fun. But she'll know. She'll know. And she'll be all like,
she's the kid who would get it. Dad, you stop that.
She'll just start laughing hysterically.
Be like, all right.
There's demons in my room. There's red eyes coming everywhere.
It's my dad.
Isn't it funny? She'll just laugh hysterically.
Dad thinks it's funny.
Good times. And then she'll just play this podcast for them. Like, just take a listen. It will explain everything. He's already plotted what he's going to do all those years ago.
And that's his evil friend, Carol.
Yeah, so there you go. All documented, YouTube it, and you'll find out, kids. Hello, grandchildren of 20...
future.
70 or whatever, you know? I don't know what you're over. But it's just me being an asshole, just so you know. So, anyhow. 855-853-4802. Next time you curse me and say, hey, I hope you go away, just consider... Who's going to be there to keep you from getting hit by that bus? So you should probably deal with the shit while you can. 855-853-4802 is our phone number. Think about that while you go to sleep tonight, kids. Let's go to our next story. It says, I have a couple of stories. I know it's long, but trust me, they're both worth reading. When I lived at my dad's house, I could never sleep in my room because I was so scared. I knew that his house was haunted, so I'd sleep with him in his bed. When I was about 10, I think, I started actually to see ghosts. I saw one when I was running the bathwater, going from my room to the other. I had two rooms, and those were the only ones I would go into. And it terrified me because the ghostly figure had an axe in his head, and I believe that it's the previous owner of the house. He passed away during the war, and he hid real silver in that house somewhere, and no one had found it until this day. When I was forced to sleep in my room, my bed would shake, and I would have to cry myself to sleep. When I went to visit my mother one weekend, I was sleeping in the bed with her and her boyfriend's daughter, and I woke up because I lost my stuffed animal. I was about 8. I found it, but when I got up, I noticed a girl with a bright light around her, and she walked over to the bed where we all were, and she picked up my mother's arm and started twisting her wrist. And I screamed, stop, stop, and she shook her head like saying no. She wouldn't talk, though. So I woke up my mom saying, wake up, this little girl is twisting your arm. And she said, Heather, stop, you're scaring me. The little girl ended up leaving. And I'd followed her to the door, and she was gone, just vanished. Next morning, we had to go to the hospital. My mom had a sprained wrist. My uncle passed away about 2 years ago, and he owned a business. Now, my mom and stepdad own it. A psychic visited there, and she asked the worker, did anyone die in your family? My mom answered, my father. And she replies, no, someone younger. And the worker said, my boss. And the psychic described him, and the worker said, yeah, that's him. So she told the worker that he was there, and he was standing right by her. And he looked mad because she was reading her book and not doing her work, and that always, and he always hated that. The worker tried staying away from that area, and before the woman left, she told the worker that he was standing over her over there now, which was where the worker moved to. The psychic met with my mother. As they were talking, my mother asked, is he here now? He said, no. Would you like me to call on? And my mother said, no, that's okay. She gets scared rather easily. Later, my mom got this really cold chill, and she looked over at the lady who felt it too, and the lady said, he's here now, and he wants me to tell the family he's sorry. He was in shock that he was dead, but someone was there to help him. What was scary about it was that right when he came, the song that we gave to him to play, I guess that part doesn't make sense. A couple days later, we got in contact with her again, the song, and she told my mother that my uncle was mad that we hadn't made contact with him. So the next day, when the business closed for the night, we brought a Ouija board in. We did it in the dark, and it worked. He came and was talking to us on the Ouija board. Me and him were very close, and we asked where he was, and he spelled out my name and that he was standing behind me. And I started to cry. My mom told him, "You know that Heather loves you and misses you a lot," and he said, "Yes." And then she asked, "Are you her guardian angel?" And he said, "Yes." And that made me cry even harder. We asked him if he'd touch me, and he said, "Yes." So I waited, and we asked if he did, and he said he did, but I didn't feel anything because I had a very big hoodie on, so I took it off. He wanted us to take a break, so one of the girls wanted to go to the bathroom. I was scared to go by herself, so I went with her. And as I walked by one of the rooms, it smelled like gas, and there was no gas in the place, so I just kept going to the bathroom. I was waiting for the girl to come out. I felt something tap my head, and I looked everywhere, and nothing was there, and I knew that was him touching me. I walked back past that one room where I smelled gas, and I called my stepdad and mother to come close and smell it. My stepdad didn't smell it, but my mother did. And I knew that it was a sign of my uncle's presence because he died in a car accident. His car was in flames. I think it was because his gas tank blew up. We went back and started talking with him again, and we asked him to show himself, and he said he would if we went to the graveyard by the hill. The hill is right by the tombstone, but we didn't go. That night I had a dream, and he was in it. It was his funeral. It was like a party. I don't know why, but I saw him talking to me. And I told him to come here, and he said, "No, you come here." Went up to him. He hugged me. And he whispered to me, "It's okay. You can let me go." I said, "I can't." I started crying, and I woke up feeling his arms around me, and I smelled him. I woke up out of that dream crying. It was him. I knew he was there. Casey, could you please play? So,
that one song.
That one song.
Oh.
Can you please play "So Far Away"? Doesn't anybody stay in one place anymore?
You're too really good at that voice. Why do people get out the damn Ouija boards? I don't get that.
It's a line of communication. It's like the ghost texting.
But it seems to me if you could communicate through a Ouija board, you could communicate without it.
When can we start doing like ghost texting? When is somebody going to come up with it? I know there's like ghost radar that like...
It just seems to me like A, B, C, yes, yeah. No, all that stuff. Like they're creepy.
Yeah.
So why not just be like, okay, I'm sitting here.
Yeah.
Let's have a talk.
Sure.
Hit me on my head or something. I don't know.
I know.
But I mean, you know, part of me is like, why? Then the other part of me, like when my dad died, I was desperate for something like that. Mm-hmm. Like what I wanted more than anything was to communicate with my dad. And like, I remember John Edwards, you know, the...
Yeah.
Guy who talks to dead people.
Crossing Over. That was like a big daytime show in the late
90s. He was coming to town and I had tickets and I just knew he would talk to my dad. And then the show got canceled. I don't know why it got canceled. I don't remember now.
Yeah.
But it got canceled. I was just devastated. I had so much writing on that.
Yeah.
But even then I couldn't get out a damn Ouija board.
You know, the Crossing Over show was interesting. How much, I have an interesting story about that. What sort of weight did you put on the chin? I know there's people that ability does exist, and I'm not doubting that whatsoever. I believe there are people that have that ability. That one seemed very commercialized. What did you think of John Edwards specifically back in the day?
Well, I think I only saw the TV show and read a book maybe. But if I'd have gone there and he would have been like, "Your father is here," and said something, I would have no, like, how would he know this? If that had happened to me, then yeah. But I mean, when it's on TV, you don't know. There's so many ways they can get information from people.
Yeah. I used to do a bit on the air, and I've talked about this before. I don't know if I've talked about it with you, but it was probably 15, 20 years ago. It was nighttime radio, and it was I had a fake character that I have call in and it was making fun of John Edwards, or it was playing on that. It was a satire on it. It was more so just be cautious here because there's ways that people can manipulate you to make you believe that these are things. And it was Chet Jameson, the bowling psychic, and he would call in to the show. And it's like, I'm Chet Jameson here at the bowling alley. And I'd have him on the phone. And then I'm here. And it was the way that he would, a caller would call in. Who do you want to speak with, Carol? And, you know, play along. Or who do you want to speak with?
My dad.
Okay, I take that back. It wouldn't be who do you want to speak with. It would start this way. So erase that. It's been so long since I've done this bit. Okay, we're going to speak to someone here. I got the bowling. The pins are down there. Let's go down the lane here. And then, gutter ball. Let me try again here. Hang on. Oh, look at the 7 and the 8 are still standing. Is there a man in your life that I'm getting like the letter D or something? Is there a D? Who would that be? And you play that and you just kind of keep throwing letters. And I mean, D could mean
7
dad.
Or 8 or 15. Yeah. That adds up. Or it could be July.
Yeah. D could be dad.
Or it could be the 8th month.
Yeah. And you just keep throwing questions out there over and over and over. And when somebody is wanting to communicate with someone, it's very easy to jump into that boat and be like, yes, this must be, you know, and that's how John Edwards seemed to work a lot. And I'm not saying he was fake or real. I don't know. But there was a lot of people at that time that were really going on that that money train of I'm communicating with the dead. And it just seemed like just be cautious because
that's why I wanted to go so bad, because I'm like, I just knew he'd be able to connect me to my dad and it would be this miraculous thing.
Yeah.
But I mean, I've never talked to anyone.
Sure.
That John Edwards did that with.
Yeah. And I don't know, maybe.
But I do think it can. I mean, it can happen.
I agree. I think it can happen. I just think that there was a lot of, and there are still out there. There's a lot of, you know, shysters in that area. And I showed how I was scared how easily it could be done. Because obviously Chet Jameson does not exist. There's no bowling alley. There's no pins being set up. And he's not reading them to communicate with the dead. But I had at least 10 calls that I successfully did and made somebody think they had a communication with their dead loved one. And it was like, holy shit. Like, that was way too easy to do. And if you're doing that professionally, it's like, you could really...
See, I also think a Ouija board can do the same thing.
Sure.
That... Like, I do think there are freaky things that can happen. Like, we weren't touching it and it moved.
Yeah.
Like, I do get that. But when I've got my hand on it and they've got their hands on it and, like, somebody could kind of push it a little to get an answer they want, I totally think that can happen.
Yeah. I think there's real versions and there's false versions. And the thing that people need to be cautious of is if you're really, really wanting to hear from that loved one and some, you know, you can be in that situation. That's the thing you want more than anything else. It would be so easy to be taken by someone who says, I can do this. It's just, you know, be cautious of who you're talking to or what you're doing to
But in that case with that story, like, they used it and it seemed like it worked without any super negative crap happening.
That's true. Until the next letter comes in and they're like, shit, the cat got eaten last night by something, you know, like, oh, it must have been the Ouija board. Wasn't dad.
But usually it's weird because usually when you hear of people using Ouija boards as something kind of dark,
it ends bad.
It's not like, and my uncle showed up.
Yeah.
It's not really like that.
It's like the chance you take of using it, like it could work just fine and nothing bad happens.
And your uncle shows up.
Yeah.
And in that case, it was like the guardian angel. He's watching over her. That's awesome. But it doesn't normally what you hear is
next
and
case.
They were never the same for the rest of their lives.
Next case, you have a roommate named Beelzebub. It's just like, oh, shit happens. You know? It's like, what do you do? What do you do? So, yeah, interesting story. And I'm glad that they got that message and that message of, you know, just confirmation that he's there and it was peaceful. But it was fun reliving Chet Jameson for a moment. Thanks for.
I like that you had sound effects. Oh,
I got to find I have those cassette tapes in a box somewhere. I should find those and play those on the show sometime.
That would be a blast.
So much shit that I did that I'm like, I look back and I go, how the hell did I even, it's like, how did I not get fired for this or that? Although, I mean, there's on another show we'll talk about. I did some bits on KFDI that were, I think we had some questions on at the beginning. But I remember one where I had a bit where we were giving away, we weren't giving away a Wii, but someone thought we were. And that was, do you remember that one?
You're
a
not,
little bit?
No.
Okay. We'll save it for another one, but that was another whole line of radio insanity. So anyhow, that will wrap up the program for today. If you like the show, keep us on the air and, become an EPP, an extra podcast person, ghostpodcast.com or patreon.com/realghoststories. $5 a month. Get all the bonus episodes of the show. Get all of the advanced episodes and a free copy of our book to ghostpodcast.com. Until next time, for Carol, I'm Tony. Thanks for listening to another episode of Real Ghost Stories Online.